The bill is dead, announced Carrie Lam, Hong Kong's chief executive on Tuesday. A small victory for the Hong Kong protesters who have been demonstrating the past 11 weeks demanding the withdrawal of a bill allowing criminal suspects to be extradited to mainland China for trial. Millions of Hong Kong residents have been regularly marching peacefully for the island to ensure their demands be heard by the authorities. Carrie Lam suspended the bill in June, but as the protesters' demands expanded, Lam showed no signs of giving ground. That's when some of the Hong Kong protesters realized peaceful protest might not be enough and adopted more hardline tactics against the police, throwing bricks at them, thrashing the Legislative Council, or blocking a tunnel under the harbour. They are young, wear total black, and are known as the frontliners. To Lam, these are violent rioters bent on destroying the city's economy. To China's ruling Communist Party, their actions are the first signs of terrorism. RFI's Abla Junaidi is in Hong Kong and met one of the frontliners, Mike, who spoke on condition his name be changed. 22-year-old Mike was arrested on July 28th during clashes with the police at the Chinese government's liaison office in Hong Kong.
That day, this is just like another day. In a week, we come out and then we grab some resources like water and things like that, and we go to the front line of the clashes. And then there's suddenly tear gas coming out, and then I get lost with my friend. And then I just get arrested. They say that, "Do you want me to beat the fuck up of you?" Things like that. But several police officers, as you can see, that they're getting quite mad from their face.
Mike said police with batons beat him and he spent 2 days in hospital before being discharged. Along with 45 other frontliners, he's facing writing charges that carry a jail sentence of up to 10 years.
They could charge us with a less terms, like unlawful assembly that I've been charged initially, but they didn't. And you can't figure out the reason of why. Even until now, I still cannot figure out why I got charged with riot. And if you compare with arguable events like in Yunnan for the 21st of July, the police didn't come up to the scene where we heard that riots are beating up citizens. And we can see that the riots exert their violence in North Point or in Tsuen Wan. But yet, there aren't any of those riots or mobs that the reporters has filmed or citizens that have catch has ever been charged. A quick figure is that around 20 people is arrested in the incident of Yunnan in the 21st of July, but none of them has got charged by the DOJ. Does that represent the efficiency of DOJ? Definitely not. They choose not to charge them. That makes us curious, and having a suspicion of they are being biased.
Aside from seeking the resignation of Carrie Lam, the demonstrators have five demands. Number one, the complete withdrawal of the extradition bill, which has now been granted. Number two, stop describing the protest as rioting. Number three, a waiver of charges against those arrested. Number four, an independent inquiry. And number five, resumption of political reform. Mike says if the demands are met, the Hong Kong frontliners and their various tactics might make history.
Or the strategy we've made have been very versatile. We've been to the airport, we've been to the government headquarters, we've been to the LACO, we've entered the LACO, we've occupied the LACO. It seems like none of them has made any significant use to the whole movement, if you ask me, that none of our five demands has been responded properly. And we won't stop until they will make a proper response. My friends and I have discussed that if all of the five demands has been responded properly, then it will either be a new form of political system arises in Hong Kong and we have made a history that can be written to the textbook, or else it will be the independence of Hong Kong. But I'm not sure with that. An independence of Hong Kong will be the... Yes, it is my dream, yeah.
If the independence of Hong Kong is a dream Mike covets, it's probably because he resents the manner in which mainland China handles Hong Kong.
All I know is that the Chinese government has treated Hong Kong very badly with the shrinking amount of freedom and so on. If I want to fight for my freedom and liberty under the strong control of the Communist Party, I don't believe this is very possible. And so the only way out is the independence of Hong Kong. But yet, most of the people in Hong Kong want a rather stable environment that they do not want to see the independence of Hong Kong. They would like to make a good connection with China as they want to earn from China.
But Mark says he doesn't share the views of Hong Kong residents who feel it is vital to rely on mainland China.
Most people saying that we cannot leave from China or we need to depend on China actually has a mindset thinking that Hong Kong is not important. Hong Kong is just a place for them to earn. But Hong Kong is actually playing a more important role in the international communities, that actually the international communities care about Hong Kong and care about unique position that most Hong Kongers forget about that and think that we just a small place that we need to depend on other people, which I do not think so. I think that Hong Kong as a unique place with unique history, with unique cultural background, and especially the strong financial power in the whole international society, we should not think that we are small. Rather, we can be big.
Mike was born in 1997, the same year the United Kingdom handed Hong Kong back to mainland China. In 2047, the one-party, two-systems agreement, which gives Hong Kong a certain degree of autonomy, will expire. Mike will be 50 years old then. He said that even if he's quite certain he will find work as a computer engineer, he's not sure about wanting to live in Hong Kong if he'll enjoy no freedom.